Blog Talk Radio.
Fantastic morning, another week, another day. You know, I remember once reading about a guy by the name of George Burns, an older gentleman, reached near 100 or a little over 100, and he said that the best part of his day was waking up and not seeing his name in the obituary column of the local newspaper. His name was George Burns, great comedian. Anyway, I always remembered that statement, and I'm always proud to discuss that statement. And so this is Professor Applewhite, and I'm coming to you live this Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. on the student to teacher to student to student to teacher radio show on the internet. That's right. It goes around the circle. Students and teachers to students and teachers. Everyone is a student because we share and receive information. That's what students do, right? They receive information and they also become teachers because they share that information. And so teachers and students come at all levels, from Sunday school levels to a rural part, a rural Sunday school in maybe the deepest trenches of Mississippi to the rural parts of China, okay? This is a global-based radio station, and we are welcoming stories of success from all over the world. And we truly appreciate all of our listeners, now reaching 20,000, that are tuning into our show, listening through it, through archives and listening live on Saturday mornings, and we certainly appreciate you. Whether you come on live or not, if you want to come on live, if you're listening on a computer right now or any other means, feel free to call in at, take this number down, 1-646-727-3758, and call us up. Or you can go on Skype. You reach me at Skype at professor.danita.applewhite. And you can reach me on Skype and we can do a video call. You can come right into the studio with me. Or, of course, we have our chat line open. So you can come into our chat line and we can talk about what we're, our subject is for today. And I will share what you bring out in your chat discussions on the radio, and you don't have to, if you don't want me to say your name, I won't do that, even if you call in live. You can use any name you want. just make a comment. Make a comment about what you feel about managing school and work in spite of or regardless of illness, disability, and death. This is part 3 of 4 of this particular series that we're doing. And we're going to discuss this morning. We have a few callers online. I'll be with you in just a moment. Just let me go through a little bit on the show description for all of our listeners out there. We're going to discuss the label of disabled. I love that. I don't know when that came to me, but it was very, very important that I started to coin that term of label of disabled, and we don't want to wear that label. And what this really means to the millions of people around the world, specifically our veterans in America with disabilities. And we're hoping that we will get some of them calling in this morning that will talk about veterans in America with disabilities and how they are not necessarily struggling, some are struggling, but how they're rolling up their sleeves and meeting the struggles to get through and get to school and work. How much can you accomplish at school and work with your present mental and or physical abilities? I want you to really listen to that one. Professor Applewhite wants you to focus on how much you can accomplish at school and work with your present mental and or physical abilities.
How much can you accomplish at school and work and with the mental?
That's right. Some may say that they have no abilities. Yeah, some people out there will say, I don't have any abilities anymore since I've lost my sight. I can't see anymore. I can't hear anymore. I've lost my leg or I've lost my cognitive abilities to think and to learn. You know, I've got bipolar disorder. I've got depression. You know, I'm paranoid schizophrenic. I've just lost all my functions. I can't do anything. However, my dear friends out there, we have stories that will tell you something different. That the diagnosis of diabetes even, of learning disabled, of cancer, of coronary heart disease, oh, come on, we can go on and on. So many more non-visible disabilities. Well, that word dis in there, that little dis. Make it difficult to manage school and work absenteeism because others cannot see what's going on and empathize. Empathize. That's right. We got to empathize a little bit. You have strength to carry on, and we will find it together. We will find it together. That's why you're tuned in this morning. And that's why if you have to leave us and leave the show for any particular reason, you can come back and listen to the rest of the show in our archives. We actually save the shows. That's what's so great about internet radio, is that you can come back on and listen to the show, pick up and listen to many others.
On the radio.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. We have someone calling in. It looks like from a 213 area. Good morning. Hello. This is Professor Applewhite. I've got a 400 prefix. And
hello,
who's calling in, please?
Dr. Applewhite.
Hello there.
Hi, this is Cynthia from Los Angeles.
Good to hear from you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning live. This is great. Thank you.
Well, I was just listening.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just listening to your show, and I'm really taking it all in. What you're saying about the, having the disabilities and maintaining with the education and work, and I'm just listening to you.
How many people, or have you ever met anyone, Cynthia, that has? They've had either mental or physical disabilities, sometimes a non-visible one. Those are the real kickers, you know, the ones that you can't see And those are the ones where you get out of the car and you have those handicap license plates. I can't stand that word handicap. I'm going to tell you about that word handicap in a minute.
Okay.
But they have those
all
handicap
right.
disability plates, and they get out of the car and they're walking just fine. And you wonder to yourself, that person doesn't look disabled.
Right.
Have you ever thought about that yourself?
Yes, you know, I actually have, and I just feel that it's totally unfair that some people are taking advantage of the system, you know, because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to walk. And there are individuals out there that really do need, you know, those placards
mm-hmm.
that can't walk.
Right.
And I just feel that it's so, like, totally unfair.
Now, I'm going to open up your mind a little bit, and for all the other listeners out there, and, oh, I have someone that's on chat right now that's also typing in. Okay, now, all right. They're saying basically the same thing you're saying, and here it is. Now, I'm going to open up your mind and expand it for a moment. You can't see if someone has a heart problem.
Right.
You can't see if they've just come from radiation therapy because they've got cancer in their stomach.
Right.
You see, those are things we can't see. And so, therefore, when we see people that are not necessarily in a wheelchair getting out of a car, it doesn't mean they're not disabled. Now, I grant you, you're right. There are people out there that take advantage of the system. They certainly do. There are people
okay.
out there that actually want to be disabled, especially in this economy. It's unreal to me where somebody would want to be in a wheelchair, want to be disabled, so that they can get a check every month. And I promise you people, I tell you out there, even in the United States, because everything is relative, that check still puts you under the poverty line.
That's true.
And so everything is relative. So if you're really striving, looking at people that are disabilities and saying, wow, they're lucky they get a check-in every month, you know, I can tell you right now, it's not so great. And, okay,
you know what, doctor,
I'm just going to go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. I really
mm-hmm.
do, Dr. Applewhite.
Yeah. There's just so many out there. And I, you know, Cynthia, it's hard for me to understand how someone could be jealous of a person with a disability, especially, you know, I'm a veteran and I'm a person with disability myself. And
right.
it is very difficult for some, you know, when people walk by me sometimes and they'll say, oh, get out of that wheelchair. You don't need that wheelchair. Or make comments to me about, can't you walk? You know, and what do you want to do? Explain. That's so cruel. Explain to somebody that why you're in a wheelchair or why you have a handicap play card on your car. And I just want, because we have such a global audience out there, believe it or not, in the United States and some parts of Western Europe, people are recognized and accommodated because of their disability. Most
right.
of the world, when you have a disability and you're born with it or you have an accident or injury, tough luck. And
that's
I
true.
Can't tell you how much that hurts. And that's one of the missions of White Apple Institute, is to help bring awareness to people, especially those outside of the United States and in, believe it or not, there are people right here in the good old USA that are not familiar with what benefits and resources are out there to help them roll up their sleeves and go to school and work and manage through it.
That's true.
Have you ever, you've been to college yourself, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and I'm sure you have seen people going to college, whether they're in wheelchairs or maybe they acknowledge to you, you know, that they have a disability and you can't see it. It's a non-visible one. And you say,
right.
gosh, how is that person doing it? You're going to work and school and you have kids and you got a disability? How are you doing that? And it makes you almost feel motivated yourself, doesn't it?
It does. It gives me a whole lot of motivation. A whole lot of motivation. Cause, and I tell you, listening to your radio show, Dr. Acolyte, you really inspire me. You really, truly inspire me and my family in our lives.
Well, you inspire me by calling in and listening to the show because we really appreciate that. We got the chat line lighting up here, and I appreciate that, everyone, for coming in and at least chatting with us this morning. So thank you. You opened up a statement there, Cynthia, and now other people are jumping in there and saying the same thing. Gosh, you're making me blush, you guys, okay? So thank you out there. This show today is really focused on, as most of our shows are, we don't like to discuss the downside of disability. We don't even like to use the word dis with ability, because the only thing that we're saying, bottom line in that, is that you have abilities, and somehow or another, you are dissing them. Think about that for a minute. You know, like there was a statement the kids, you know, the younger generation would make, don't be dissing me or don't diss me, okay? And that means don't excuse me, don't put me down or whatever, okay? And so it was really interesting when I heard that the first time. I said, wow. That's exactly what dis is. When you think about disability, is you're taking the abilities that you already have and you're saying, well, I've got these abilities, but I'm going to dis them. I'm going to put them away. And so we encourage people to take the dis out of ability and roll up their sleeves and go forward. Think about what you can do versus what you cannot do. We focus so much on what we cannot do. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to get back to that word handicap for a minute. It's just burning inside of me to say this to everyone. I believe it was in the country of England when the soldiers were just getting back from World War I, actually. And there weren't very many resources for them to go to work in civilian life. And so they landed up taking their cap off of their head and, you know, holding their cap out for people to put money inside of their cap. And they would stand on the corner, very similar to what we do, what we see now with Salvation Army. But they ring the bell and they have a bucket out there for you to put money in. But that was the cap, and so it was a handy cap. Isn't that interesting? And that's where the word handicap actually came from. That's the original concept of it. And so handicap indicates, number one, that someone is unable to take care of themselves, okay, because you're out there begging for money. It puts you in a status in society where you don't feel very good about yourself. It also tells you, when you look in the mirror at yourself and other people that look at you, that you can't do anything, that you can't go to school, you can't go to work. So it's a good thing you are out here begging, because you wouldn't be able to have any money to do anything in life if you weren't out here begging. Cancel. We don't want that. We don't want the label of disabled. We want the label of abled. We want to be able, and we want to keep that in our minds and in our hearts. That's real important. When we think about the veterans that have fought for our country, in one way or another, I was talking to another woman vet the other day, listeners, my dear friends out there, and I was really glad that when we were talking, we started to focus on the jobs that we had. For you veterans out there, I'll say our MOS. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say that. But our skill level, what we did when we were in the service. And veteran means that we have, we're not on active duty. It's post service, post-active service. And so we noticed that many people in the United States and even in other countries that have a military force, that once people leave and become veterans, that there's a group of people that will make an assumption that just because you did not fight in a war, that you weren't really a veteran, okay? Well, I'm here to tell you that there are many, many jobs, many careers within the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guards. I can go on and on and on. Hope I didn't miss anybody in there, any group. But what I'm trying to say is that within those service areas, there are people that do not actually go out on the front lines and shoot their weapons, okay? There are people that teach, like myself. That's what I did in the military. In the Army, I was a teacher. Same thing I do now, 30-something years later. I'm not going to tell you the exact years. But that doesn't mean that we didn't make the commitment. Because every day, what this other woman veteran was saying to me is that every day that you're on on the Army post or the Air Force post or whatever, you are on an alert status. So that means that any time your whole being is shaken up, knowing that you may be called today, and you will not be able to go back and say, "Oh, excuse me, can I just go home and spend a few days with my family before I go out?" You know, boom, you've got to go. All right. Get your stuff packed within sometimes 10 to 20 minutes. You've got to be on a truck or bus or whatever and out of there. And so with that in the background of your mind, you are serving. And so our hats, our gloves, or whatever are off, and we applaud all veterans in whatever capacity you served in. And we certainly applaud you if you have come out with any type of disability, whether it's service-connected, that means connected to the service that you put in to the military, or whether you became disabled after. We still take our hats off to you and applaud you for serving in our military. And with that, and I'm not going to focus totally on disabled Americans this morning, but I do want to make sure that I give enough attention to that particular area. And that is, and any of the, we have a few other people on live that have called in live right now, but I see that you do want to stay anonymous right now. Anytime you'd like to jump in and say anything, please just indicate that. Since I can't see you, know that it's okay to, I don't take it as an interruption when you say, "Hey, I've got something to say there," okay? So don't feel uncomfortable about that. Anyway, Disabled American Veterans, the DAV, is an organization that I belong to, actually, and I just want to give a few kudos for that organization, that they've never, ever wavered in their commitment to serve our nation's service-connected disabled veterans. They even serve the dependents and the survivors, okay? So they get attorneys for us. They help us to file claims, to identify what type of services that we need. And in addition to that, they help with physical evaluations and advocacy. They go with us. And they help with pensions and compensation for those who have disability-related issues as a veteran. In addition to that, and if any of you are interested in how to get in touch with the DAV or Disabled American Veterans, it's DAV.org. or you can contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org on the internet, and we'll be glad. Just leave a message for us, and we'll be glad to get back to you and let you know about that. But we also can't get away from mentioning vocational rehabilitation. And there's a vocational rehabilitation, VR it's called, that helps not only civilians, but it also helps those that are veterans. There's a special unit that's designed just to help with veterans who are going through the rehabilitation process of trying to get back to work and school. And so we appreciate both those organizations, Disabled American Veterans and the Vocational Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA, out of Washington, D.C. And they have offices all over the place. In every single state, you can go, when you go online or if you call us, we'll let you know what location is closest to you. Okay, so that's just a resource I wanted to share with everybody. I think it's important to talk about what's out there, what's available for people who have disabilities that want to go to college. They want to go to college. They want to go to work, and that's basically why we go to college. Or any kind of post-secondary training. Post-secondary meaning, and I define all these terms because I know that we have people listening from other languages and cultures, and I'm sensitive to that. So I try to break down everything that I'm saying so it's clear to everyone. So please, I know that some of you may say, I already know that, you know, but that's the reason why Professor Applewhite breaks down these things for you. But I wanted to come back to what college funding is all about and why it's so important to know what resources are available in the United States and sometimes in other countries. We have, in the United States, we have federal and state aid and all kinds of scholarships and awards. Those awards can range from all kinds of monies that come in from different organizations, different nonprofits, different sororities and fraternities. Those are people that are already in college or have finished college who put a little bit of their money aside so that they can help a new person who's coming in to get through college. And so it's real important that we support many of our nonprofit organizations out there, and there's too many for me to list, with their efforts to provide college funding, especially for those students with disabilities that would otherwise not be able to go to school. And now the federal student aid programs that are available, everyone is eligible for the student aid programs, whether you have a diagnosed disability or not. So, and I say that because we have an ongoing joke in the field of educational psychology, all psychology, and that is that there's two types of people in the world, those diagnosed and those undiagnosed. So in other words, what we're saying is that everyone has some type of, if you will, now here we go with that word, disability. In other words, our ability to do something is dissed in some way. Okay, because there's no perfect being. Now, at least I don't know of one. Okay, the only one I know that even came close to walking the earth was Jesus Christ, and then we have those that have followed in his footsteps. But outside of that, my friends, most of us are dealing with numerous challenges in our life. Numerous, from mental health to physical health. And when we put all that together, especially here in America, it's just unbelievable to me. I don't know if anybody's... Cynthia, are you still online there? I know you've been open to talking. I don't know if you're still there. Hello? Okay. But what I was going to say is that it's very interesting to me that that there's a lot of people out there that that are not open to discussing their disabilities, not open to discussing the fact that they're not perfect. You know, they're very easy to point their finger at someone who's in a wheelchair that's it's a visible disability and say, well, that person's disabled, instead of acknowledging that many times the reasons why a lot of people don't go back to school, if they've been in school, and this is really, really prevalent in those that don't have a high school diploma or GED. And many times we find, and research will back this up, that the reason why they have not returned is because they may have a learning disability. That's right, folks. A learning disability or some type of emotional disability. Can't see those, but they're there. And many times, because they are a diff on our abilities to do things, we perceive them as something that stops us from going forward, stops our effort, stops our dreams. Don't let it stop your dreams. Roll up those sleeves and call White Apple Institute, or call your aunt, or call your mom or your dad or somebody in your family. Call a friend and say, you know what? I got to tell you something. I can't read that well. And I really want to go back to college. What do I do? Do you know anything I can do? Talk to a teacher. Talk to a counselor, an advisor. I promise you there are resources out there. Not too long ago, I was in a hotel, and I met this young lady who was cleaning the rooms there. And she was, we were just talking. I was there at a conference. And she said, wow, she said, boy, I would love to go to something like that, a conference. You know, I don't know anything about that. And, you know, but I can't even go to school. And I said, what do you mean you can't go to school? She said, oh, I'd love to, but I can't. I'm look how old I am. I'm 29 years old, almost 30. Well, I had to giggle a little bit because, I mean, we have students, especially through White Apple Institute, that are 50, 60 years old, some of them almost 70, that have actually returned to school. So age, don't let that stop you. Because I promise you, if you are 62 now and you don't have your GED and you don't have a college degree, when you're 63, you won't have one either. If you don't get started now, roll up those sleeves and get started. Okay, no matter what age you are, this is your life. This is your life. You can have a dream. You can visualize yourself as whatever you call success. And if school or college or some type of vocational training program is what you've always wanted to do. And that vocational training program could be anything from being a cosmetologist, a beautician, a barber, to a plumber, to an electrician, x-ray technician. There are lots and lots of things out there that you can do. And if you just step into the doors of your local community college, and we thank President Obama for bringing so much attention to the great resource that community colleges bring to the community. I can't thank him enough, and I always send him a copy of the show. Every week he gets a copy of the student-to-teacher radio show that we're doing this morning. And we do that on purpose so that he will be able to know what we're doing, and we always thank him so much for the attention that he brings to this very, very wonderful resource. I myself teach at a local community college here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm here to tell you that we have tremendous resources tremendous resources at the community college level. And so for those of you who are looking at the big, big university and all those thousands and thousands of people and saying, oh, my God, that's scary. I don't want to go to a four-year university. Well, don't let that frighten you, because I promise you, if you start with a community college or even start the GED program, then it will work its way into your psyche, yeah, into your spirit, and you'll get motivated. But you've got to take the first step. And if you're already in school now, if you're already in a school program or at college or in a work training program and you're feeling like, I can't do this, and especially for those of you out there that may know somebody or yourselves have a learning disability where you're not getting the math or you're not getting the reading. Reading is the one that comes to me a lot. A lot of people that were diagnosed with dyslexia many, many years ago when they didn't have programs. They didn't have programs out there that addressed people who had dyslexia. So now we have people coming back to school and they're 35, 40 years old and they're saying, but I'm scared because I remember when I was trying to do this thing called school many years ago and I was put down, I was laughed at, or the teachers didn't have much to say to me because I could not read and write like everyone else. We have another caller online that's saying that they want to come on board. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, and I've got you in from a 623 area code. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Professor Applewhite. This is Karen Hanvey. How are you?
Well, hi. Well, good morning. A pleasure to have you on the show, and I really appreciate you so much for coming on this morning, and I hope you've had a chance to listen to a little bit about what we've been saying about people having so many distractions about going back to school, back to college, because maybe somewhere in their background, someone told them they couldn't do it because maybe of a learning disability, the way they read, the way they write, and so they've allowed that to stop them. And they've carried that label of disabled in their brain, in their hearts. And we want to tell them, no, come back on board. Karen, can you share with us any success stories, even your own, if you have one, about how you've overcome something in your life that, and then led you into going back to school or back to work?
I do have dyslexia, and I'm also ADHD, and if I get a little frustrated, it's actually I use it to my advantage because it made me push harder, do more, be more than what I actually needed to be. And and today I am going back to school after many, many years to start in a new field and do research in a different field. Because
as a matter of fact, Karen, you've been supported by White Apple Institute by calling in, and we've encouraged you to go back to school. Has that helped a little bit?
Yes, it has. It's very encouraging, and I'm so grateful. And I thank you so very much. You've inspired me to go that extra length.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And we are inspired by you and your story. Tell us a little bit about how did you know that you were diagnosed with ADHD or dyslexia? Did that happen when you were in school when you were younger?
Yes, they didn't have a name for it back then. They just just said, oh, it's just a hyper kid, and you know, they put me in a special ed class because I couldn't read when I was real young. And there was nothing really, you know, it was a disability at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know how to treat it. They didn't know how to
treat it or address it or even help you to understand that, hey, you can still do wonderful things even though you've got this diagnosis, right? They
right.
didn't
and
give
they
you
didn't
that encouragement.
They didn't have phonetics when I was going to school. We had to memorize the words.
Mm-hmm.
And that
and if you've got,
harder.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know,
and
to,
that's difficult. Yes.
And so most of my, I had to try two times harder than most students to just get it.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got it good, you know.
Well, hooray for you. That's the kind of stuff we'd like to hear on the Student to Teacher Show about how you know, you're facing all of these negatives in life and you still turn around and say, hey, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm still going to go forward. And but there was a lapse. You mentioned that there was a period of time where that lapsed and you didn't go back to school. Was that because you felt uncomfortable with trying to get back in the swing of things?
Well, it had been almost, I quit school when I was 16 because I basically failed out of school.
Okay.
I was,
so the system failed you. The system failed you. Let me put it that way because, you know, you were there trying and we
right.
unfortunately failed you. And I apologize
right.
for all the teachers that were in your particular environment that didn't reach out and let you know about the resources. But I am here to tell you that sometimes they really didn't know either what to do.
Right, right. And, you know, it was all new to them. And so it took me 10 years after I quit school to go back and I got my GED.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed it with flying colors. And
How did you come back after 10 years of being out of school and come back and pass the GED? Did you get somebody to tutor you or did you get tapes or how did you do that?
No, it was a lot of it was sheer will. And I had quit school to go to beauty college.
Okay.
Because I, you know, that was the love of my life was doing hair. And I felt that by the time I graduated from beauty college, my classmates would be just graduating high school and wondering what they were going to do with their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Here I had a career mapped out in front of me. I thought it was...
And doing what you love, too, because, you know, that's a real... big key is to do something that you love to do and you'll always be great at it because you love it and so you won't have the problems that other people have when they don't like what they do. You've experienced that, I guess.
Yes, my grandfather told me once if you find something you absolutely love doing, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's right. That's a great statement. I love that. I love that. Find something you love doing and you'll never work a day in your life because I love what I do. I love teaching and it's like when I get a paycheck, now I don't get a paycheck for doing this radio show. This is totally, all of us are volunteering to bring these messages to everyone. That's why we encourage you to go to our website and take out a membership because that's how we actually survive. At White Apple Institute is by your memberships, but enough of that. But what the point is that when I get my check, I look at it and I'm like, wow, this is great, and I had fun doing it. I had fun teaching. I had fun connecting with students who are so eager to learn. And so it is important to do what you love to do. Find that job, that career that makes you feel good. Because when you feel good, it's very, very difficult for you to mess up. That goes back to dealing with and managing a bit when you're ill and you've got absenteeism on your agenda here because you're ill or somebody in your family's ill or you become disabled temporarily or permanently or you're dealing with death in your family. When you deal with all those things, you can use them as excuses for not going back to work or for being absent so long that you get terminated, fired, or because you love your job so much, Karen, you can actually make a way to manage that time so that you don't get fired because you love what you do so much that you want to get back even though you're sad. Go ahead. Go ahead. Someone wants to say something.
The thing about my job, it's more than just a haircut. When somebody comes to me, I am developing somebody's persona, their self-image of themselves, and it gives them some deep confidence, a vote of confidence that, yes, I look this good, and they feel like they're walking on air. And this is not only an art, this is something that I've devoted my whole life to, and because it does help people's, encourage people's self-esteem, it builds their self-confidence, and a good haircut can do many, many good things for you, you know, and I wish that more students in the cosmetology field would feel that way about that person sitting in your chair. You know, that this is not just a chop-and-go experience here. You want to give them the ultimate experience to where they take on a new persona, a new me or a new you. And so more than just that haircut.
You know, Karen, I want to ask you one last question, and that doesn't mean you can't come back in and talk again. I just really want to focus on something that you said. And before we get back to, I believe Cynthia is still on the line, and I know that there was a time in her life that she had contacted White Apple Institute to balance some things in her life, and maybe she might want to share how she has rolled up her sleeves and went back to a job that she loves, a career that she loves. So, Cynthia, if you're still online, we're going to come back to you in just a moment. But, Karen, would you answer this question for us?
Sure.
For those listeners out there that are maybe saying, I don't know how she went back and did her GED, and you know, I've got dyslexia, and there's no way that I'm going to able to go back and do that. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, you say it was will that made you go in and take the test and go. I assume that same will was there to go to beauty school because beauty school is not easy. And you got to read in beauty school. You got to know a lot of things about chemicals and all kinds of stuff. What the teachers did not give you what you needed in the public school system. And here you like you said, the system failed you, yet you come out, roll up your sleeves, and go to beauty school and finish a GED. Come on now. I mean, something was going on. Somebody had to be in the background of your life. Something motivated you. Or something.
At that time, I guess my father was always, he wasn't not necessarily there physically for me all the time because of his job in the military. He traveled quite a bit. But I always wanted to do something to make him proud. And there was a special lady there's a very special lady in my life, my aunt, who inspired me. I was in a Catholic school, and we had the option to go to beauty college or to be a secretary. And I, after a week of learning how to type, I couldn't type, so I figured, well, maybe beauty college would be better for me. And I met the instructor there at the school. She was the most divine lady. Oh, she was just absolutely wonderful, and she was very patient and very kind. And she was a great, great teacher. And my aunt and my aunt had inspired me to go ahead and do this, you know, and she felt that, you know, with my artistic talent that that this would be better for me. And she was right, you know, and I'm very close to her still today. She's inspired me in a number of many ways. And she's, I call her my other mother. She's my best friend, my sister, my auntie. She's just a lovely lady in my life. And
well, you know, that's, thank you for saying that, because you're usually, I mean, I'm not saying that there's not a time when people can just do it within themselves, and because there is, and there's no one else around. But usually, I think most of the stories that we hear through the show here and at White Apple Institute are about someone who became your teacher. Okay, maybe they didn't have an academic degree in teaching. You don't need that to be a teacher. But your aunt, sounds like your aunt and your father were both teachers, and one time they were students. And we have to honor them for being there for you. And we honor you for accepting their advisement. Thank you so much for sharing that story. And feel free, if you have something that you want to close our show with today, so I know that you have some very, very spiritual things that you like to share with people, you feel free to help us end the show today. I would like to go to Cynthia here and see if there's anything that she would like to add to how... Cynthia, are you still in the same field that you love to be in?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little bit about your quest and how, what you've had to overcome to stay in your field and to go through a lot of training.
Well, my quest is to remain an insurance agent. And I must say that it's been really difficult because I have been diagnosed as a manic depressive. It's not easy.
Yes.
It's totally...
No, it's not.
Every day is a struggle. There's days where I feel, you know, very, you know, uplifted, and there's days I feel very sad. And one thing I want to mention here in the state of California, there's not a whole lot of funding for, you know, mental disabled people.
No.
Cutting a lot of programs out here.
Right.
And then when you try to get help, then you have to wait like months and months, and maybe you will talk to a counselor or they will, you know, prescribe some type of medication.
And
I must say it's been very difficult.
Yeah, Cynthia, unfortunately, I hate to break this news to you, but it's unfortunately it's all over the country. We've had mental health clinics closing, resources closing. Not only for the average citizen, but for many veterans who come back with PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder. And it's just disheartening. It breaks my heart to know that we have not come very far with understanding mental health. And because mental health is no different than physical health. And I'm here to tell you, and I'm sure you know it.
I really think it affected me in my positions that I held over the years, and I tried to fight it that I didn't have this this disability, but I do. And I must say I do have the courage right now. I'm about to be reemployed back into the
wonderful
insurance
industry.
And I'm going to get help.
I'm going to get help. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Boy, if that, this has been a wonderful show. And thank the two people who have spoken up live on the show today. And we appreciate everyone that's on the lines right now and in the chat room. You all have done a wonderful job. And I see that someone here is saying that they're inspired by the show, and I also want to encourage you to look at who else is inspiring you in your life. So many times the people that have inspired us have passed on, and that becomes a really lonely place sometimes when we can't go back and sit with our grandmother or aunts or fathers or whatever that have really been a major influence in us rolling up our sleeves and not wearing that label of disabled. So, but when you do lose...
Can I add something here?
Go ahead, please.
I just lost a girlfriend back in March. She had sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
She was 38 years old. She was in and out of hospitals. And she made it her point to finish, to get her college degree. And she did?
Wow.
The cabinet here in Los Angeles was there, and they brought her cabinet gown. She would not stop until she got her bachelor degree, and she did. But she's not with us any longer.
And that's a debilitating disease. Sickle cell anemia is a very debilitating and painful disease.
Well, I lost my brother to that same disease.
Am I right? It's very painful.
Yes.
Is that right? It's very painful.
All her pain, she still continued to go to college.
Wow.
And didn't give up. But now, unfortunately, she's not with us any longer.
Well, I bet you that some listener out there is listening to your story right now, and a tear is coming to their eye, because it's coming to mine. Because I'm thinking about all the people out there with sickle cell anemia and other non-visible disabilities. That's another non-visible disability like we were talking about earlier in the show, remember?
Yes.
You know, you can't see that. You can't see it, but, I mean, they might have a handicap plate because they have to get out of the car. They have to walk slowly. They need to walk, park closer to the store, and we might not recognize that they need that. So we got to be really careful of being judgmental. But we do have to understand, and if we see someone that's not, that we know for a fact is not disabled, and they're just grabbing their mother's handicap plate so they can park closer when they go to an affair, we need to stop them and say, you know what, wait a minute, you might be taking a parking space away from somebody who really needs it. But I agree with you that there are people out there that have painful things that they're going through. God bless her. God bless your brother for going through all that he did. Because listen to what you've done just now. You have brought his cause and her cause to life again. Do you realize that?
Yes.
That thousands of people that are listening to this show or that will listen to this show are going to be inspired by what you said. Maybe they don't have sickle cell, but maybe they know someone who does, and they're going to be able to say to them, I heard on the show that somebody still went to school and still did a wonderful job with their lives. Thank you so much for sharing. And I have to close right now. Is there anything more that anyone would like to close the show with? Any statements, any scripture, anything that they'd like to share?
Oh, yes,
I will say one. Oh, go ahead.
Karen, once again. You know, I...
we only have less than a minute. We have less than a minute.
Pardon me?
We have less than a minute.
Okay. I believe that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to. You know, if you believe, you can achieve. You know,
there you go. Thank you.
And a member of Regina Andrews, she did.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And with that, we say, much love and peace throughout this week. Listen again to the show if you need to for some encouragement. Roll up your sleeves. Look at what you're doing in this life and go forward. Call an advisor. Call a counselor. Go to the community college. Talk to your employer. Seek out some resources. If you're a veteran with disability, ask us where to go. Contact White Apple Institute. We thank you so much, and thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music that you provide for us. Professor Applewhite, we'll see you next week. Next Saturday, tune in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.